Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Jeez Louise.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome down to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and I am here with Matt Stewart, Jess Perkins. Let's do this, guys. How are you?
We are very well.
I'm pretty well. I'm really well.
I'm also well. I was speaking for both of us for some reason. I'm sorry about that.
No, if you could speak for me for the rest of the episode, that would be very helpful.
No problem. Yes. Matt is a little tired, but still...
I feel like we start maybe every second episode with that phrase. Matt is a little bit tired.
Yeah, one of us has always just gotten off a plane recently.
And both of you have just gotten off a plane today.
Yeah. We've been in the Northern Territory. Have we got any Northern Territory listeners? Hello.
We had someone tweet. Lovely place. Remember we had someone tweet in asking if you were
in Alice. Yeah, that's right. So
it's really good. It was a good time.
Had a great time.
I love the tropical winter weather. 30 something degrees up in the northern part of the north.
Is that 30 degrees Celsius is every so? But in the morning, is it quite cold? You were saying
it's cold overnight. Yeah, because it is a desert. But
certainly in Alice it was, but up in Darwin it was still warm
into
the evening.
Darwin was nice. Yeah, it was lovely.
And I think Catherine was similar.
Mm-hmm. It was like the perfect weather, but unfortunately I just love Lady Melbourne. I love it so much.
Mm. What a lady.
What a lady. A cold, cold lady.
What a classy dame.
She's a classy dame.
What a lady, what a night. And I've spent many nights here because I've not been away, but I've been good. Thanks for asking. Good.
Nobody asked.
Let's keep talking about the Northern Territory all episode, all right?
Unless that's Matt's topic today.
I'll put out a... We took a photo with you up there. I should put that out.
You took a photo with me up there. Did you?
Yeah. Well, your head.
What?
Did you notice that your head was missing briefly?
What shot did you use?
Does that look good? One of your promo shots. One of those classic Warnocky pointing down the barrel kind of shots.
One of the action shots.
I reckon it's just after a click.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one. After one of those.
Hey!
Dave's here.
Do you reckon he's making that noise? Yeah. Hey!
It looks like he could be.
Yeah.
I think I actually am, to be honest. Yeah. Nearly every photo.
Great.
It's hard when you're trying to get a passport photo taken. Hey!
You're like, no, sir.
No, please, just close your mouth.
I wish you could smile in passport photos. I look like an obese serial killer in mine. I'm not looking forward to traveling again.
We have to hand it over, sort of embarrassed.
And
yes.
I'm blonde in it too.
I look like a slim serial killer.
Do you?
It's quite a flattering.
Have you got dreadlocks in yours?
No, that one's gone.
Oh, also, man.
Have you seen that?
I think so.
It's a classic pic.
Did you used to have dreadlocks?
Yeah, but no, Yeah, just by... Well, anyway. It was mainly the lack of combing my hair. It's pretty
just
fucked.
Just being a dirty boy.
I probably had three...
Did you just have one rope hanging from your head?
I had one dreadlock about that big.
Oh, that's big. That's a
critical size. Are you serious?
Yeah. I remember I spent a whole evening picking it out on the sofa watching The OC season one.
And did it take every episode?
It took a full couple episodes.
The highs and the lows were felt.
Yeah.
Well, you picked a just chop it off, man.
Yeah. Start fresh.
Probably could have. Gross. Probably should have. And it was in the form of a mullet as well. Oh. I was very funny in my younger years.
Well.
Get it? I don't know.
Well, The OC was a great show, though. We can all agree on that.
Sandy Cohen. Am I right?
What a guy.
Everyone's dad.
Everyone's dad.
What does that mean?
The dad of the people.
Father to everyone.
Father to all. But let's...
he did have a habit of adopting runaways. So
he did. One time. If you call one time a habit.
I do.
You've got a habit of holding a pen right now.
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah.
It's my worst habit.
You got to kick that habit, Jeff. Oh, yeah. Well done.
My mum always tells me off for it.
Yeah. It's like the idea of, you have to kick your habit of adopting strange skater boys.
I love it. I love doing it.
Sandy?
No. He's no good. He's from the wrong side of the bloody road or whatever.
The wrong side of the cliff.
Yeah.
He came from the ocean.
Like a salmon up stream.
He's a seaman. Get rid of the seaman.
Oh, not another seaman.
Oh, no. Too much seaman in the last episode. Great. Well, who knows how much semen we're going to have on this episode. If you haven't heard the last episode,
semen
then...
Semen is too much semen, Dave.
Okay.
I think probably an hour and 20 minutes of the last episode. If you haven't heard the Dyatlov Pass incident, go listen. But Matt, it is your turn to do a report this week.
Yeah. And it's a corker.
It's a corker? It's about corks. It's about the town of Cork.
No.
Oh.
It's about bottle openers, or the things that do the corking. Ugh. So much editing, so early.
Some sort of bottle machine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, corker, the one that puts the corks in. Yeah. It's about the history of corking machines.
Okay, so we always start with a question. Have you got a question for us?
Yes. And as always, I write the best questions, and I think you guys, I know Dave writes the best reports, but I definitely write the best questions.
And I write the best answers, fun facts.
Answers. Oh, fun facts. No, you definitely, can you remember the last time we had a set of fun facts officially?
Good point.
I don't have any fun facts.
I have been neglecting, but then again, my last couple of topics have been kind of dark.
Yeah.
So I'm lightening it up next week, and there will be just a bit of a bit of tease for you. There will be fun facts next week.
Oh, that's great.
Well, if you say it now, you have to come through.
I know.
Because they'll be angry. They'll come for you with pitchforks if you don't have fun facts.
By they, do you mean you?
Oh, yes, I do talk about myself as a collective group.
Unfortunately, you guys...
no fun facts this time.
No fun facts. It's also quite a dark topic.
Oh, dear.
We're on a real streak at the moment.
We really are. A bit of heavy lifting by the other two has been required.
Is that going to be required of us this time as well?
Yeah, always. Okay. Always in my paper-thin reports.
All right, great. So hit us with the excellent question then.
In 1983, what now booming industry was nearly wiped out?
Okay, industry nearly wiped out. 83 and, also the
and
year.
Is this, yes?
The year my brother was born.
Oh. So the child rearing industry was going quite well.
Very well. Very well indeed.
Okay, ticked that, yes. And it was only going to get better a few years later.
7 years
possibly
later.
Possibly seven. are we talking, is this confined to Australia or a worldwide industry?
It's a worldwide industry. This particular event was more. North America based.
Something happened in North America. Did they all give up on NFL that season or something?
Is it NFL?
It's not, but that's a good guess. It could have happened.
Quite an industry too.
Yep. All right. Look, I mean, I gave you very little chance of getting it, unless you knew.
Is it
what
gold?
It was.
Gold. They thought they found all the gold in the NFL.
Is he getting closer? It's
imagine if it was close. That, but Matt didn't give it to me when I said the NFL. No, you had to say gold.
No, it's darker than that.
Oh.
The topic.
Oh, I forgot he said dark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
The topic this week is the video game crash of 1983.
Video game crash.
Video game crash.
I kind of feel like video games are doing okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's the now booming industry.
Oh, you did say that. Oh, jeez, Louise, he's good.
He's real good.
All right, video game crash.
It was also known as the North American video game crash of 1983, which is quite a similar sort of sounding thing. And also in Japan, it's known as Atari Shock, which is way better, actually.
I like that. Look,
now, this was a listener suggestion, wasn't it? Because I remember seeing this.
This came out of the hat. This was suggested by a man known as 3PHRD. I guess it's Shepherd.
Okay.
Shepherd.
Is that a Twitter?
That's a Twitter handle, but cool. Also his name, I guess.
Cool.
So thanks so much, Shepherd, for sending this in. I have a funny feeling that you're going to know way more about this than I do. The only video game console I ever owned was a Super Nintendo.
Oh, one of the
which
best.
Which came out well after... we got it well after it come out. I think
was it Cousins or something?
I think we got a new one, but we got it when the 64 or whatever the following one was came out, so the price dropped.
Trying to get just throwing him out.
And we all got a game. We had Battletoads, me and my siblings, Battletoads, Nigel Mansell's Racing.
Oh, Formula One?
Yes. Mario Paint.
Mario Paint?
I've never heard of it. I love it. What's that?
It was a Mario-based paint game, so it's sort of like
interesting.
An arty sort of game. I mean,
it was self-explanatory, really, wasn't it?
But it included this game. I don't know if you guys ever watched Amazing on Australian TV, Channel 7 Afternoon Show with James Champagne Sherry as the host.
Is this the one we had to find the keys?
Yes, that's great. One.
Oh, yes, great.
And at the end, you had to play a game to win I think the game at the end was a video game, and it was always a Super NES game. And it included one of the games from Mario Paint, which was like this fly swatting game. That was like this little game inside the game of Mario Paint.
Oh, wow. Did you have gaming consoles? Were you much of a gamer as a kid, Dave?
I've never been really much of a gamer, but we had a couple of consoles. I had a Nintendo 64. That was the first one we got. And then a PlayStation 2.
Very nice.
That is like, that's seen as one of the classics, I think.
Yeah. It was great, you know, because it also had the DVD player. So
oh, yeah.
Suddenly you got two DVD players in the house. Oh, my God.
Oh, geez Louise. We had a Sega. Well, my brother had a Sega. So I played that a little bit when I was really little. And then we didn't really have anything. I was like, that's why I loved going to friends' houses, because they'd have PlayStations and I'd get to play. But then when I think I was about 18, so my brother was 25, and he had like temporarily moved back home, and Mum bought us a Wii for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. I think it was kind of her way of being like, don't leave. Don't leave again. so we
oh,
had...
no. He's taken the Wii.
Yeah, no.
Why it's... didn't I chain it to the wall?
So we...
Why didn't I chain him to the
wall? Damn it.
Never leave me.
But did he leave?
Oh,
he
Annie. Did leave. Isn't Annie a sweetheart?
She's a sweetheart, and he's married and lives with his wife, which makes sense.
Who's got the Nintendo Wii?
It's still at Mum and Dad's place.
Oh.
It is. I feel like the Nintendo Wii is a bit of a mum and dad's console.
Yeah.
My mum and dad have a Wii.
I think I'm going to take it.
Do they ever use it?
No.
It feels like, because everyone gets that Wii Fit game.
I was
going to
say,
no one
we bought mum Wii Fit and she used it about twice. I was like, I don't know why I buy you nice things. Anyway, so that's our gaming history.
But I had no idea that it crashed even before I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I had no idea, so let's find out.
Okay, so, I mean, you're probably asking, what was the video game crash of 1983?
I feel like we literally just asked that question.
I prefer to phrase it as, what was the Atari shock of 1983?
Mm, I wish I could speak Japanese. I would have had something really good for you right then. Ichi ni sanshi. Well, that's not right.
Do you just count yourself in?
I count myself.
One, two, three, four, report.
It was a huge recession of the video game industry, would you believe it? And it occurred from 1983 to 1985. The crash was serious enough that it brought an abrupt end to what is considered the second generation of console video gaming in North America.
Aha.
In Japan, the second generation kicked on for a few more years because it didn't have the big old crash.
Interesting.
Do you know much about the generations?
Yeah, from, are we like up to the 7th or the 8th generation or something now?
I've got no idea at all.
I'm not sure. I only looked in. I'm like, what the? I'd never heard of generations.
So every time a new one. So, you know, you've got Nintendo 64 versus PlayStation 1. And then PlayStation 2 comes out, so they have GameCube. And then PlayStation 3 comes out, and Xbox has got the three. You know, sure. They all have it. It's every few years they have to bring out something new to try and capture them.
Interesting you say that, because it wasn't always done that way.
Oh, really?
So it was a little bit more haphazard in the early years in terms of bringing it. These days it's every, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years. They all kind of bring them out at the same time. They've all sort of fit into a rhythm, meaning that you've given yourself time for the players to, you know, get a good life out of that console.
Yeah, so you don't feel like you're upgrading all the time.
Yeah, which otherwise, why would you? You'd stop buying them if you were thinking, oh, there's going to be a new one in 6 months anyway.
So. Yeah, but I imagine it's also they bring them out at the same time, so you can be like, hey, you were a Nintendo guy before. You're still a Nintendo guy, right? Yeah. Don't try that PlayStation. Nintendo's still cool.
Yucky. Don't try that yucky, icky, icky PlayStation. No. I'm so tired.
Icky.
It very nearly put an end to the industry altogether, actually. Like, it got pretty dire in America for the home gaming consoles, anyway.
Wow.
At the time. There are many reasons for the crash. I'll go into a few of those. But, you know, when I was reading about the generations, it made me think, oh, what was the first generation sort of thing? So I looked into that a bit. It said the first generation began in 1972, which is seems crazy to me, with the Magnavox Odyssey.
Well, I've never even heard of that one.
No.
And the Generation 1 lasted until 1977, when the Pong-style console manufacturers left the market due to the video game crash of 1977.
Oh, wow.
So they've got precedent for crashes.
Yeah, apparently. And I did not look into it at all, so maybe we'll do that another week. Some characteristics of the first generation consoles were the games were very basic, would you believe it?
Were they 3D? No.
No, they were, yeah.
I'm only kidding. Of course they weren't.
That was great acting, Dave.
Thank you. 0D, I think.
0D.
There was no dimensions.
No D.
They hadn't invented the D yet. The D came later.
That was the 80s.
There's the hashtag.
The D came later. First generation consoles had games integrated so that, you know, they were inside the machine. They weren't cartridges like you'd
all right, get. So you buy it and that's it.
Yeah.
Like those are the games you've got, yeah.
Rather than, you know, having the removable media that we're more used to now. Entire games were restricted to only one screen. You know, like Pong and stuff, the whole game exists on that one screen. You're not scrolling through or anything like that. Color graphics were very basic, mostly just black and white, and they only included very basic or no audio at all.
Great. You know what's great? Just playing video games in complete silence. Yeah. That's so good.
In complete black and white.
I don't really like how the sound effects of video games really round out the experience.
I find it overwhelming.
I don't enjoy it at all.
I can't concentrate on the skateboard if the music's playing.
That said, actually, one time I won a Lord of the Rings PC game, and I was playing it, and you've got to, like, sneak through a field past some wolves, and I had to turn the music off because it was making me too scared. I was like, I can't concentrate at getting past the wolves with this scary music.
you turn it down, but then you miss the clue that the magic wolf is like speaking into your ear. Turn left. I didn't hear it.
I was busy hiding behind hay bales. Okay.
The 3 hours. Mum had to come in and pull the plug out from the wall. It's just a game.
It's not a game, Mum. There's wolves, I tell you. Didn't sleep for that year, but that's all right.
Bloody hell.
But pretty glad you won that competition, though.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Wolves are scary. I think that's fair enough.
That's the lesson here.
I'm quite into those really basic games. Like, I never play them, really, but things like Pong. I remember Pong being... There was a game when I was a kid. I think it was probably even old when I was a kid, called Commander Keen. And it was...
Was it Commander Keen for Peen?
Yeah, it's Commander # Keen for Peen. You know, I was so close to doing the report on Peen this week. I started looking it up. And because, you know, that...
What do you mean?
Penis. I was just going to report about penises.
Wikipedia, penis, enter. This is a bad mistake.
Man, there is a whole... No, Wikipedia's got quite a long article about peen.
Quite a long article about
They've
peen.
They've got photos of elephant peen.
Okay.
Wow, maybe you could do an episode on
this. I don't think I want to be part of that episode.
Corkscrew duck peen.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't want to hear that episode. Thank you.
But it did make me think when I was looking into it. I
penis.
Into the pain.
Into looking into the eye of the pain.
So to speak.
Gross.
No, literally. Quite literally.
Right. Yeah, he really that's gets how,
that's
research.
How I think. That's how I do my best thinking. But you said, one of you guys, whoever posted last week about our most ever requested topic being the Dilatov Pass.
Dyatlov Pass.
Dyatlov Pass.
Dilatov.
Mm. Incorrect.
Oh.
Pain by a long way. Keen for Pain by a very, very long way.
Well, because people tweet in Keen for Pain.
Yeah. That is what hashtag was born out of. It was requesting pain as a topic. So I think we really have some sort of responsibility to give the people our pain.
I protest my interest in being part of that
okay.
episode.
Well, stay tuned for a couple of weeks' time, guys, because I might be going to the pain hat.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not.
The pain hat.
Just imagine it's quite a small hat.
A little pain hat. Good day, sir.
Is that a top hat? There's all sorts of different hats.
It's got to be
a little beanie.
He's a classy fella.
A red beret.
Top of the morning.
The second generation kicked off just prior to the crash in 77, actually, with the release of the Fairchild Channel F and Radofin Electronics 1292 Advanced Programmable Video System. In 1976.
You ran out of breath. Okay, first rule of marketing something. Make it something you can say within a breath.
It's got to be easy enough for mum to go to Kmart and remember what it's called. Oh, he wants the 12.9. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting him a t-shirt.
It's funny. There was so many...
Amanda. Getting him a t-shirt.
Thanks, mum.
Anyway, there was all these different brands I'd never heard of, like Calico or something like that. Anyway. Now, some features that separated the second generation from the first include a microprocessor-based game Logic.
Ah, yes.
Now you're talking my language.
Now I understand exactly what you're talking about.
They introduced computer-based opponents, so you could do single-player in a multiplayer game.
Oh.
Which is cool. Which is surely Pong was like that, but I guess they don't think of the paddle or whatever. No, what is it? How does Pong work? I can't even remember it.
Pong's just like...
There's two paddles. So, yeah. So the original one, you couldn't play by yourself. Oh, man.
What about for all those only children out there?
You have to run from one remote to the other.
Just put them next to each other.
No, I want my child to exercise.
Why not just play with the child?
Never.
I also do not want to do that. Games on cartridges allowing any number of different games to be played on one console. So
yes.
The removable media was introduced.
Yeah, which is a great idea.
Games started to span multiple screens.
Oh, yep.
So you can move through the world. And that introduced basic color graphics, generally between 2 color and 16 color.
Excuse me?
Can you even name 16 colors? I bet you can't.
No.
Blue, green, yellow.
3.
Red.
4.
Orange, pink, magenta.
We're only up to 7.
Hang on. Black.
8.
Wow.
Is that not a colour?
I'm not counting that one.
All right. Get rid of black. Grey. Fuck you.
I'm not counting that.
Brown.
9.
So
we've got 7 colours.
Hang on. Here. Okay. Well, give me a chance.
Have you got yellow yet?
Yeah, I said yellow. All right. I did those.
You got red?
Yes. Stop distracting
me. What about purple?
Rookie mistake was saying magenta. Blue. You should have said dark blue and then light blue.
Navy blue.
Cyan.
Cyan. I'm not even sure what that is.
I think it's like a pink.
Coral. Somewhere between red and orange.
Salmon.
So I'm up to 11.
I don't think the 16
salmon.
Color graphics included salmon.
Salmon.
Jess?
It was there.
Or coral.
Beige?
Beige.
Oh, you guys are fucked.
Emerald green. Bottle green.
Nah.
There we go, 16. Boom.
Bang.
Nah, don't ask me stupid questions like, can you name 16 colours?
This game sounds incredibly colourful.
It's got beige in it.
Beige and salmon.
Ooh. And grey.
It says that on the box. Now including grey.
I can see a rainbow. See a rainbow. See a rainbow too.
What's that? What's the fun colour in the rainbow? You know, they're all normal and there's one fun colour.
Indigo.
Oh, what a fun colour.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can see. Is that it?
Oh,
I
is think that what it is? Okay, great.
I think so. Yeah, Indigo.
Anyhow.
Fuck, I didn't say Indigo. 17.
Yeah, you, no, you've missed
it. The list goes on.
The game can only handle 16. You chose salmon and beige over Indigo.
Well, they were your fault, to be fair.
And grey.
Shit.
So things were looking pretty great for the video games
looking
industry.
Looking pretty grey.
Pretty great.
Great. Really great.
Through 1982,
I don't see anything bad happening. It sounds amazing. Like, to be honest, it sounds like it's just getting better and better.
Up to 16 colours, my friends.
Yeah.
Well, how many colours do you need?
Yeah. Well.
Was that part of the crash? They ran out of colours.
Yeah. This is a guy scratching his head.
Yeah, guy in Tokyo at Atari going, fuck, we're done for.
No, Atari's American. Japan was going fine, Dave. If you're not going to listen to me, I
thought Atari
honestly,
was Japanese.
Is Atari not Japanese?
Take a fucking walk. No, I'm pretty sure it's American. It's American.
Hey, guys, there's just a little too much swearing on this podcast. I mean, I know it's always
it's from
me.
It's coming from your mouth.
So things were looking pretty great for the video games industry through 1982. Mm. Having gone from a niche industry, game cartridges were now in mainstream stores like large music and video cassette retailers.
What?
You don't have to go to that dingy dungeon anymore to buy your games, kids. Come up here to Magic Mike's big old retail store. Everyone in, we got Madonna. On this side, we got Bono and his band, the U2, over here. And behind me, all the video games you like with colours ranging from grey all the way to beige and everywhere in between.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike sounds like a really fun guy.
I like Mike. I mean, I hear he skinned a kid but in his basement. But that was
that
after. That
wasn't enough to turn you on him?
You know me. I'm not one to turn on people.
That's true. That's a good point. Here are some stats from a website that I liked the name of called thedoteaters.com.
The Dot Eaters.
I think it's a Pac-Man reference.
Ah, yes.
And we go around eating the dots.
Nom, 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 nom. I like to make that noise when I play Pac-Man. Yeah.
You turn the sound down and do your own soundtrack?
Nom, 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 nom. Oh, 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 oh. Do that for a bit too. That's the ghost.
Do you reckon he ever gets full?
Nah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't say it. It happens off screen.
Yeah.
He's vomiting.
He's bulimic.
And when the screen changes over, he's just there going,
oh, God.
Please stop.
No more. Please let the ghost fucking kill me. Kill me now.
I used to be a stick man. Now I'm just a big fat circle.
I don't even have a body anymore.
So, yeah, the Dot Eaters had these handy stats on there. So around this time, sales in home video games across the board rose from $950 million in a year up to $3.2 billion.
Billion with a B.
So I don't know if you
That's tripled.
Tripled. So pretty good. More than tripled, even.
Mm,
yeah.
Because in America, 1,000 million's a billion, right?
Correct.
Is that in Australia as well?
Yes. Now, internationally, we all treat it.
Because in Britain, it was, for a while, it was a...
A million, a million is
a million,
billion.
A million,
and a billion is a trillion. But that means we'd never get there, because that's so many
is
million.
Is that why we changed it? So we could have billionaires?
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd have none.
Yeah, that would be lame. Who could we hate?
I'd just like
I know you guys are aspiring to be that.
I was literally about to say, I'd just like to be a millionaire. And then you made an affluent East.
Do you think anyone buys that? I mean, you do come from the affluent East, but you guys are very poor.
We're so poor.
So poor.
I've got nothing.
I mean, you from the start your parents gave you, you guys have done awfully.
Oh, my parents gave me a very good education. Not the best Melbourne had to offer, but
that sounds
pretty good.
Sounds a bit of resentment there, isn't it? Not the best.
No,
they could have done better, Mum.
I just meant when I said like they gave me a very good education. It's like, well, it was fine. It was a good education. I put myself through uni.
Wow.
As everybody does with HECS now. So
you mean the government put you through uni and you promised to pay them when you make enough money, but you never will.
I'll never make enough money.
Sucked in, Hitler.
Because I'm a comedian.
That Hitler stuff would not make sense to new listeners. It doesn't really make sense to all listeners.
I actually don't know where it started. Which episode was that?
Was something about Dave and his
Nazi sympathising? Yeah.
Don't say ways.
Come that, Hitler. Anyway, Matt, please do go on.
So 15 million consoles had been sold overall,
sounds like it's booming.
65 million cartridges. So this is hitting a peak, right?
Because I was thinking before when you said they've introduced like the cartridge, that's genius, because then like you're not just selling that one console and then you your business is done. You keep making money from them.
You get new
it's
games.
It's like The Sims with all their expansion packs, and I fall for it every time because I fucking love The Sims.
It's got a new type of hairbrush.
Yeah. Oh my God, sometimes you can buy expansion packs that are just stuff. It's literally called The Sims 3 Stuff, and it's just objects you can buy for them.
So you play a lot of The Sims?
I fucking love The Sims so much. I fucking love The Sims. I could talk about Sims all day. I'm writing that down as a topic I'm going to do.
Good topic.
The Sims.
The Sims.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, pretty good. 25% of US homes at this stage have at least one system.
That's crazy. Because I feel like here it wouldn't have been that for a long time after.
Yeah, so it was going off.
So one in four people has... One in four homes,
yeah.
So far, it sounds like a boom rather than a crash. Yeah, I think you've written down the wrong word. I think you mean the video game boom of 1983.
By mid-1983, there have been over 12 million Atari 2600s. Do you guys know how that's meant to be said? Is it 2600 or 2600? So by mid-1983, there have been over 12 million Atari 2600s
sold. 12 million?
So, giving them about 70% of the market share. So, they just dominated. And they employed almost 10,000 people.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
In Silicon Valley. They have they have more than 200 games available for their system. And new games are hitting the market every week. They were owned by Warner Communications. And Atari made about 5 times the revenue at that stage of Warner's film division.
What? Wow.
What? So this is still mid-1983. Things seem to be going really well.
Because Warner's been around for ages, like, you know, 50 years at this stage, and then suddenly...
Video games take over.
Yeah, you talked about the Warner Brothers in the Academy Awards.
Yeah, Jack Warner is the most famous one, but there are like four brothers.
And it was like the 20s or something, right?
Yeah, I think maybe the 1930s for the Warner Brothers, yeah.
Wow.
Man, imagine what Jack Warner would have thought. Probably good on ya. Good on ya, Atari.
Wow.
And yeah, so that revenue accounts for over 60% of Warner Brothers Corporation's profits. So
60%.
Yeah, so they're doing a lot of heavy lifting for Warner Brothers that year. I mean, it was a real spike, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so people are suddenly real rich.
At the same time, there are a million Intellivisions sold by Mattel, so that's another console that I've never heard of before.
What's it called, sorry?
Intellivision
sold by Mattel, the toy company.
No, I don't know of that one either.
And another 1.5 million ColecoVisions, sold by Coleco or Colco.
Wow.
Another one never heard of. See, in my head, like obviously we all grew up after this time, but in my head it's Nintendo and Sega, and then it's PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were the ones who made it up.
Yeah.
I'd vaguely heard of Atari, but I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah, same. Like I knew it was a brand or a company, but I wouldn't have known the consoles and stuff like that. Weird.
So yeah, so things are going pretty well.
What about a Commodore 64? Who makes that?
They're more of a home computer. So
right. I've just heard of that, but I didn't.
Yeah. Before. I found out a little bit about them. I think they get a mention at some point during this. I was reading this article in the New Yorker just earlier, and it said that Atari was your classic Silicon Valley startup, right? And it even employed Steve Jobs for a time. And according to this article, they found a quote from Walter Isaacson's biography of Jobs. A quote in there said that he was asked to work night shift after his co-workers complained about his abrasive personality and body odour.
Hey, you can have one, but not both. Pick. Either have a shower or put a smile on the dial, mate. Or work all night. I don't care. They're your options.
You'd be a great boss, Dave.
I really would. And he's like, fuck you. I'm making my own company. I'm going to be one of the richest men ever.
Okay, yeah. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, mate. Sure.
All right.
Tell you the story, Walken. The, yeah, that isn't at all relevant, but, you know, interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Stanky Jobs.
Have some respect. The man died.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit rich. That is a bit rich.
Every episode is about dead people on this show. We never have any respect.
I think we're very respectful.
What about the episode devoted to death?
That was the best.
In the early days, Atari had in-house video game developers, but they didn't credit them. The developers, the guys who made the games, guys and gals, I think it was mainly guys.
Mainly guys.
They developed the games, but they weren't able to put their name to them.
Oh.
Hmm.
Due to this, over time, due to this and the fact that they thought they were underpaid, several of the programmers left to form their own rival video game company called Activision. Ever heard of Activision?
Yes, because they made the Tony Hawk games.
Yeah, so they obviously did. They've continued to do pretty well.
Yeah, right. So that's made by people that wanted more credit.
Yeah.
Have you ever finished a video game? Which I rarely have, but you get to the end and often it's like, congratulations, you've passed. And then it's like a 3-minute credit sequence of all the people and you're like, I don't give a fuck. I just finished it.
Yeah, give me a trophy.
Yeah.
Not a credits.
Like, or like it's if it's a sports game, it's like, yeah, well done, you won the season. Now here's 700 animators who made the soccer players' uniforms. Oh, God.
But it's like, I mean, it's like, that's exit, the same exit, for everything.
Exit. Skip.
You work on a TV show that doesn't do credits. Is that you just being bitter?
Yeah, I think every episode should finish with a 3-minute credit sequence of all the people that made the soccer uniforms for that episode.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Wait, is that what you do? You make soccer uniforms?
Yes, it's a sports show. It's not at all.
What are you talking about? I'm so confused. He's, am I confused?
No, he's making a very funny joke about just talked about.
Well, then I am very confused, Jess. Now I'm more confused.
Okay.
Well, just go on with your report, Matt.
Listen back to it and you might understand.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God. At the time, the biggest selling console was the Atari 2600, as we were talking about. But if you knew how to make Atari 2600 game cartridges, you could, right? And obviously the new Activision company already knew how to write the code. So when they figured out how to make the cartridges, they started making their own sort of third-party games for Atari consoles.
Right, but could they illegally sell them at the shop, so you have to do it in an alleyway?
Atari sued.
Okay.
And the case was settled out of court. but the end result meant that the precedent was set so that third-party manufacturing of Atari games had become legal.
Legal?
Yeah, they were able to do it. So, at this stage, the market became flooded with many different games manufactured by...
Flooded
isn't a good word.
This is not good for a market that's doing so well.
Flooded is never a good word. Hang on, let's think of a context when flooded with cash. There we go.
Flooded with yogurt when you really want some?
No, because if it's flooded, that implies like a lot of mess. And it's everywhere. It's not in a nice contained little bowl.
My mouth was flooded with yogurt.
Oh, hello, there we go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Flooded with yogurt.
Flooded with the perfect amount of yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we got it. So just those two cases, everything else is bad.
Everything else is bad.
My mouth was flooded with water until I died under the water.
What about...
That's a bad one as mm-hmm. well.
The area was flooded, but the only person living there was a convicted serial killer.
Still Yay! Bad.
Well, he died.
Yeah, but flooding's never good. It has other effects, you know.
He was about to push the button that would have killed everyone
and
in the world.
And flooding is good!
Yeah!
Flooding, flooding, flooding.
I'm up for a good flood.
Interesting you didn't jump on board with my flooding chant. Anyway.
Flood. Oh. Too late. I'm always
too late.
I'm always too late.
Do go on with your silly little report.
So
tell us about this market flooding.
With all this flooding, the quality control was obviously very poor because there wasn't any. Mm. It was just up to the individual.
So now, a bunch of people have worked out how to make their games.
Yeah,
not just these Atari. I mean, Activision.
Yeah, the Activision guys were probably the ones you might want to do it, but because they had some skills.
Can't people just buy the good ones? For example, you go on the Apple App Store. There's 10 billion apps.
Mm.
But you just download the good ones.
Quality floats to the top.
Yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily know which ones are the good ones. And probably the shitter ones are probably cheap. So people would buy those. Do you reckon?
Well, I reckon stay posted to the end of this paragraph.
Okay, we're jumping the gun a little bit.
I'm on tender hooks in this paragraph. Is it going to talk about the App Store?
So when you bought cartridges in the App Store, something happened and it was really good.
Hooray! Yeah. Flooding, flooding, flooding.
Due to the oversaturation of the market and of the poor quality, sales numbers dropped dramatically. But this meant that a lot of those new companies went out of business and the shops couldn't return their products to them because they're out of business, so they just started slashing prices.
Oh, right, so they're like, well, so we've got 600 of this video game that doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
So
But the Atari system still do, so they can still be sold.
Just people... for like a buck.
Well, so... they went from being like 30 or 40 bucks down to $5.
So is Mike maybe slashing the prices?
Mike is slashing
what
prices.
What would that sound like?
Oh, guys, hey, I mean, Madonna is still at full price, so if you're in the market for some Madonna, but you can't quite afford it, well, why don't you have a look over here and down in the dungeon area that I've reopened? Because you weirdos just don't have the money. But I got some cheap games here. Look, I got Nobby Nob games down here. And I've got...
I'll take one.
How much, sir?
$3.
I'll give it to you for two. Thanks for thanks for playing.
You're not a good businessman, are you, Mike?
No, this is all a front for my drug business.
I feel like I'm the kid that's going to get skinned.
Yes, you definitely are. You're going to live in that basement now, kid.
You can live in the basement and I can live in your skin.
So calm down.
You too, still full price.
Bono's band. Still full price.
Bono's band, the U2. That was
So because of the price came down, some games are under $5 even when they'd gone. What's that as a percentage? So say a game was $40 down to like $4.99 or something.
12.5%.
All right, great. That was very good. Initially, I'm going to assume that's right. Initially...
Well, it was 5. You've gone 4.99.
Same 5. Yeah, rounding up. Initially it was just the poorer quality games that reduced in price. But due to market forces, people were all buying those cheaper games. It forced the better games, the better quality games,
to drop
in price as well.
To compete with the flooding and the saturation.
So basically the whole market just ate itself.
Yeah.
And this is obviously, they're the biggest factors probably in what the crash was. People talk about other things, which I'll talk about a bit. Here's a paragraph out of that New Yorker article that was... better words than I could write. Atari hadn't yet figured out this is another potential reason. You know, there was lots of factors at play, but Atari hadn't yet figured out the precise timing required to successfully transition from one generation of consoles to the next, like I was kind of talking about before. Today's console makers have settled into the predictable rhythm, typically releasing new machines every 5 or 6 years, enough time for customers to trust that a next generation system will be genuinely superior to the one it had replaced. But in the early 80s, the process was far less orderly. Manufacturers like Atari issued new systems much more frequently, and their newness often hinged on gimmickry, such as a built-in screen or a different kind of controller rather than any major technical milestone.
This one's got a blue controller.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I need it.
I think gimmickry might be one of my favourite words ever.
That's why you go to the New Yorker.
The gimmickry. New Yorker. It's funny that the word gimmickry in a way is a type of gimmickry.
Yeah.
Atari released the 5200 console, which was their next generation on the 2600.
Well, and probably and it was twice as good, I imagine.
It was released in 82. Meaning that it cannibalized the sales of the older Atari 2600, but didn't offer enough technical improvements to persuade many people to trade up. Even as Atari promoted the new console, it flooded the market itself with games for the 2600, which is...
Oh, come on.
What?
See, normally they'd like stop making games for the older model, so you had to get the new one.
Yeah, so the last year, there's not many new games. So you're like, oh, I want the new games. Got to get the new thing.
Yeah, build up some pressure.
But they're like, hey, we got some sweet games for the old one. Buy the new one. Oh.
But I don't need it. You've got all the good games for the unit I already have.
Yeah, no, but this one's got a bigger number.
Oh,
it's 5200.
It looks much the same and doesn't have any of the good games available for it. I'm not sold yet.
It's got some blue plastic on it.
Oh, hang on a second.
I'm going to put both of you in the basement if you don't shut the fuck up.
Okay, I'll have my
5200. Sorry, Mike. The boy, maybe the boy, did the boy take Mike's skin? Now the boy's
The boy sounds scary.
A very, inside Mike.
Very confusing subplot, but I'm enjoying it.
I'm sure it will be resolved by show's end.
I don't know that it will.
In addition, company executives at Atari were very optimistic, almost overly optimistic, if I read it properly, producing 12...
Oh, no. The 104,000!
No!
They produced 12 million copies of a Pac-Man game.
Kids love Pac-Man.
12 million copies for the Pac-Man game for the 2600, even though they'd only sold 10 million consoles at that point.
So that just...
Some kids are going to be dumb enough to buy two, right?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I think their theory was that the game would make people buy the console as well, but it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
But they ended up selling... I've seen different numbers on this fact, but the New Yorker said that they ended up selling 7 million copies, making it the best-selling video game in history. So, you know, pretty good, but... Nearly, that was only about half of the games they'd made, so it was...
Hang on, so it's the best-selling game ever, still?
Yeah. Oh, no, at that stage.
All right, and it's still only about half as many copies as they made.
Yeah, so they were pretty
we confident.
We wanted
double the record.
Yeah, amazing. So that was seen as a bit of an embarrassment for them. But apart from that,
they accept the gold record certificate for the Guinness World Record for the most games ever sold, but they're crying because they've still got 5 million copies in the warehouse. Bittersweet.
When it was released, there was a lot of hype around it. The Pac-Man game, it was very highly anticipated, but unfortunately, the release was rushed, and the quality was poor. I read somewhere that the guy who made it, the programmer. He delivered a prototype, and they're like, "Let's get it to market." He's like, "No, this is like an early."
It's only got 15 colors. I haven't put gray in yet. Nah, print it. 12 million copies.
Thank God I got beige in there because without the beige,
without beige, the game it just wouldn't work. The background's beige. If you see through, imagine a see through game.
So it was the arcade game was very popular, but it just looked like a really. Really poxy knockoff. You know, the dots were dashes. The mouth like continuously opened even when it stopped. Just like weird little things like that. The music which I've heard is so bad. It just sounds. He was
Can
like,
you give us
I
an
think
impression?
He... sound like he someone fell asleep on a synthesizer face first.
He probably did.
And at the same time, Around that time as well, the other big game that they made that was seen as maybe contributing a little bit to the downfall of the whole industry was a game called E.T. the Extraterrestrial. I don't know if you have you heard at all about this.
Apparently, heard of E.T.
Yeah, it's from a movie. It's pretty.
The movie from E.T.
I love it. It's from a movie. You've probably never heard of it.
Do you mean E.T.?
Biggest selling movie in or biggest grossing movie of the 80s.
That is the film you're referencing, isn't it? The film E.T.
Are you talking about E.T., the Steven Spielberg film?
This one was...
So there's a video game to go along with it.
Yeah, and it was a genuine rush job. I'd never heard of it, but apparently it's infamous in video game circles. It was a super rush job. Like, from programming till manufacture, the whole spectrum, like, from the idea, from the first, like, typing of the keys...
Can we guess?
To it being printed and manufactured, how long do you reckon?
2 weeks.
Oh, no, that's... I mean, that is...
Too far? Too silly?
That's too silly. Yeah. Imagine that.
So it's longer than 2 weeks. A month.
I reckon 3 months.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So, it, yeah, I mean...
I'm not that impressed then.
After two weeks,
I still am because that's half the time that I guess.
Yeah, but like three times what I guess.
So that's 6 weeks from coming up with the idea to...
How long does it take? Well, I've come up with joke ideas it obviously takes a morning and performed them that night.
Then they've got to design it. Like, that includes everything. And it apparently...
Maybe if they stopped procrastinating, they could get it done in 2 weeks.
So Atari, they'd spent over $25 million on the rights for E.T. for the game.
You don't spend that much money, then it takes 6 weeks.
And then save money, they just smashed through it, but also because they wanted to get it out in time for Christmas.
Sure.
The end result is...
A shit game.
Widely known as the worst game of all time.
Again, accepting the Guinness World Record with tears in their eyes.
And this is mainly because it is boring and nearly impossible to play.
What a combo.
That's the review.
Yeah, it says that on the box. It was such a rush job they didn't read their own review. They just took a quote, printed it, 12 million copies, went, that doesn't sound very good.
There were these... I think the point of the game was that you're meant to find pieces of a telephone, I guess, to phone home.
Sure.
But you'd fall down pits and you just couldn't get out of them. You'd be stuck there. I don't think you'd die, but you'd just be stuck there. So fun. And apparently, if you went in to play it, you wouldn't just figure it out. You'd have to go read the manual. Like, in most games, you'd be like, all right, I'm starting to get the hang of this. I'm pushing some buttons. I can see which one makes it go forward and stuff.
Yeah,
so confusing.
To turn right, it's like a 9-key combination.
Yeah.
It's left. Fuck.
To turn right, you got to go to the fridge, get a bottle of milk, pour it on your head, spin around 3 times.
Sing the first verse of the national anthem.
Yeah. Of
your choice.
Any country.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It was very loose in some parts.
They programmed 200 national anthems into
very
the video
game. Very specific,
but
also very loose.
The majority of the games were returned.
Oh,
it's that bad.
It's that bad.
Even at Christmas time, people are...
Yeah, people are just like, what the fuck is this? Just like, I just picture millions of people sitting in front of their consoles just like with a blank look on their face. What has just happened?
I'm stuck in a pit. I've just got to keep resetting every time I fall down a pit.
For some reason that I enjoyed that so much.
I love that.
Why is there so many pits?
Yeah.
Where are they?
It's just all pits.
Pittsburgh.
That's a topic in the hat.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Well, there you go.
Well, I think we can tick it off the list.
Yeah, that's right. But if we mention a topic, does that mean we've covered it?
No, I think so.
I don't think so.
Let's just go through the hat one day, read them all out, and we're done.
I'm looking forward to doing Pittsburgh one day.
If we get through the hat, I think we should say, at the moment, it sits at about 2 years' worth of episodes, so we're going to keep going forever, guys.
But that's like, as it is now, we get suggestions all the time,
which is great. I'm confident of pushing through. I mean, we're doing one right now.
That's true.
Unless two have come through, we've at least stayed steady.
Exactly.
We definitely got one this morning. So.
No, please keep them coming. They're amazing because there's stuff that we never consider. Like, I've never heard of this.
I'd never heard of it either. I found some other funny things, like advertisers also started making Atari games because just like anyone could. So companies were just making promotional material that was an Atari game.
I reckon McDonald's had to have had one.
The McDonald's How to Order a Large Fries video game.
The one that I bet you they did, but the one I read about, you got no Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
That's like their cordial, I think, in America. So Kool-Aid released a game about a character called the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, he's often parodied in cartoons saying, oh yeah.
Oh, you know that really? Guy?
Kool-Aid Kid would have made more sense, right?
Yeah, that does sound better.
Alliteration.
The title character in the game had to chase down tear-shaped villains called Thirsties that were trying to take away the world's Kool-Aid supply from the children. And you'd get that game by like buying a certain amount of Kool-Aid. So, you know. Really? So it was free, basically.
Free, but every 2 meters you fell in a pit and you had to start again.
Pit of Kool-Aid.
You drowned in a pit of Kool-Aid.
What a way to go.
Flooded.
What a way to... Oh, now that's a good way. It flooded with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm into it. Sticky. Love it. Well, that is my nightmare. Lots of gross cash-ins like this were made, which obviously continued to lower the reputation of Atari and video games more generally. So Atari controlled such a huge percent of the video game market, right, in 1982 and into 1983. Only a year later, an urban myth started around the ET time. Started doing the rounds, which said that the dramatic drop in demand for video games meant that the company dumped 14 truckloads worth of game cartridges into a New Mexico landfill and poured cement over the top.
So no one can ever play them again.
Yeah. What?
A large.
They literally went into a pit.
They fell into a pit. I fell into. Now that's a nightmare. Falling into a pit.
Had not considered that. That is very good.
That just winked at me. Like approving of my joke.
Not with laughter.
With wings. With a series of wings.
So that was like, that became this really big urban myth, and it was talked about through gamer circles around the world like a lot, and it had been for years and years, until it was uncovered as being true in 2014. They found the pit.
They found the pit.
Yeah.
Someone dug it through up. The concrete.
Yeah, yeah. And there weren't the millions of ET games that they thought there were, but there were still... heaps.
There was like at least 9.
Yeah, there were 9.
9 unplayed ET games.
How do you know they were unplayed? But like they took...
No, you could tell.
They took them out of the concrete and you know how you could just blow on them? They're good to go.
Yep. Fire them up.
Plug it in.
Oh shit, I'm in a pit. Oh crap.
So the industry's revenues had peaked at around $3.2 billion in 1983 and then fell to around $100 million by 1985. So it was reversed back to where that peak... And it came back down to that same level, which said on a few different things. I trust their maths because it said it on a few different websites. It's a drop of about 97%.
Oof.
Which is a relatively big drop.
Relatively, yeah.
That's huge.
No, I'd say it's relatively big.
Relative, like compared to say a 95 or 94% drop.
If you compare it to a 99% drop, then it's not relatively big.
Yeah, relatively small.
100% drop.
Relatively
tiny. Nothing.
Relatively small.
90%, yeah. 97%. Yeah. Fuck off, 97%.
Everything's relative.
Yeah. Isn't it just?
That's a good point.
Even the scale of 0 to 100 is relative.
What an
excellent point to make there, David.
And also Jess and her brother.
We are...
They're relatives.
Relatives.
Yeah.
We are relatives.
But
how...
earlier in the episode. So that's tying it all back neatly together.
Very good.
Was that the end of our subplot? Jess and her brother are related?
Yeah.
Yeah, we still haven't talked about the Mike's... skinning the kid, but we'll get there.
Well,
do you know
my brother's name is Mike?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he skidded kids. Skidded kids?
Skidded.
He skidded kids.
He used
kids.
To. He's nice now.
Yeah. He can reform.
He's better.
He doesn't skin anybody anymore. Just cats.
Yeah.
No one likes cats.
Oh, gross. He doesn't. He's very nice. I'm sorry, Mikey.
His name is really Mike.
Yeah, his name's Michael.
That's spooky. Hey, did you guys know after last week's episode about the Dyatlov Pass?
Dyatlov Pass.
Every time, yeah.
I woke up the next morning with bruising on my body with no reason.
Oh, my God.
You know how they didn't bruise? They got...
internal injuries.
They got internal injuries and no bruising. And somehow I took the bruising.
You got their external injuries.
Yeah, I had them up on my shoulder and down my arm and then a little bit on my neck.
Oh, my God.
It was really weird.
Wow. Like, a lot of bruising?
Yeah. Like this weird yellowed bruising.
That is
and
weird.
Also, the next day, I was in a cafe, and Rod Stewart's song with mandolin played. I'm not even fucking with you.
Did you freak out a little bit, though, to be honest?
I was like, what are the odds of this?
Oh, weird.
Like, the song before it was some sort of minimalist dance, and the song after it was back to that weird sort of techno. But in the middle, out of nowhere.
Do you know what's so strange? Actually, now that you mention it, I completely forgot that we talked about that. But the day after that we recorded that episode, my tent got hit by a car. And there was a Yeti.
Driving the car.
Are you
and
for real?
And a golden woman. And I died. Are you I'm not fucking with you.
You can't fuck with me on this.
I would never. So
do you
that's
think they're
so
connected?
Nah, couldn't be. Got to be a coincidence. Jeez Louise.
Of course.
So anyway, the crash was rough.
The car crashed into my tent, yeah.
The car crash was rough. But, you know, Jess has kicked on from death and she's moving on with her life.
I think I look better dead.
You look good. You look good.
I pull off death well.
Yeah.
I would say...
Death becomes her.
That's
a thing, I'm pretty sure.
I would say that you look just as good.
Just as good dead as alive.
That is really sweet.
Try and work that compliment out.
I'm guessing then that you're seeing me dead, which means I have open cask funeral, which
open
means
cask.
Open cask.
You've been
packed. That's a party.
Casket, which means my ass has been
goon?
Packed.
Are we talking goon?
Yeah.
You're wearing open plastic cask. Underwear right now.
Plastic underwear and they've packed my ass for seepage.
Jess, please. We all know what they've done to your ass. You don't need to talk about it.
Again, very confusing for new listeners. Go back to episode 10 and enjoy.
This is a real one for the fans.
Sorry.
Sorry, everyone else.
And even the fans are mad at us for that. Like, ah.
Yeah, so the crash in the video game world was rough in 1983. Many companies went under. And that, you know, to be honest, that sucked in some ways. But.
Oh, is there a but?
But on the plus side, that meant that many families who wouldn't have otherwise been able to afford gaming consoles could.
And they could all play that terrible, terrible E.T. game.
That's right.
Crack the shits and vow to never play again.
So it meant that a whole generation of gamers were introduced to video games that wouldn't have otherwise been. And I've read a lot of blogs and stuff, people talking about it, saying... It was bad, but if it wasn't for that, my family wouldn't have got it. And now I run the website called imagamingnerdman.com. You know, like people got right into it because of that.
imagamingnerdman.com.
Well, that may not be. That may not be an. Yeah, I should
what
put an asterisk.
If that doesn't exist, we'll buy it.
Yeah, that's ours now.
That'll be our website. imagamingnerdman.com for all your do go on needs.
No sense.
Have to keep writing it out. It's an in joke that really wasn't even in a joke.
Yeah, I mean, it was in.
Yeah.
But was it a joke? Was it in? It's out. The industry recovered a few years later after the crash.
So, but did you say before that Atari's gone?
Atari's gone.
So they've bowed out.
At one point, their CEO was... on charges for insider trading as well. Like, a lot of things went wrong for Atari.
So not very good. But they were, but at one time, they were 70% of the market, and now they're not there anymore.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. It's too big too soon, and they just obviously had confidence, too much confidence. Yeah. Interesting, right? Hey, people, feel free to correct me on anything that I've said wrong, and I'm sure I've said some wrong things, but... You know,
that's the spirit.
Thank you. I accept,
no, I've probably fucked it all up.
You're
probably all really mad at me.
Accept your feedback, videogamenerd.com man.
.com man.
That was a different guy.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
They're
both called Steve, weirdly.
they really have a rivalry going. Who's that? I think it sounds like Arnie Donner are rehearsing out this fight. People like it when we talk about Arnie Donner, or one guy does. If you can,
his name's Broden. Yeah.
I love it when you talk about it. That's not my Broden impression. Hey, you kids, walkie, walkie, walkie. That's your impression of him.
Yeah.
I'm Broden Kelly.
Hey there, you naughty boy.
You fuck.
Anyway, that's another thing that's...
Hope he hears that. I'm not going to mention it to him at all, and then just wait for him.
Look, we share a studio with Arnie Donner. Look him up. Very funny sketch comedy troupe. Anyhow, the industry recovered a few years later, and this was mostly due to the widespread success of the original Nintendo Entertainment System,
which was
launched in late 1985.
So they've come from nowhere, have they?
Yeah, Japanese brand. I think they came from Japan. So they learnt a lot of lessons from the crash, including the fact that, you know, that because they were sort of out of fashion a bit, they try to market themselves as separate from gaming consoles. That's why it was called an entertainment system.
Hey, we're not Clever. A video game system. We're an entertainment system.
Yeah, the system remains.
Yeah. Hey, you've got to have a system. Take away the system, what have you got? Chaos? We're Nintendo. It doesn't translate very well, but in Japanese that sounded amazing.
In Japanese it's beautiful. Yeah, it's strangely haiku. Poetic.
It's beautiful, yeah. It's written in haiku form.
It's an advertising haiku.
They learnt from the third-party issues, the mm-hmm. third-party producers, which led to Nintendo having much stricter quality control, but also they included a special chip in every cartridge that meant that only games approved by them could be played in their consoles.
Clever.
If you had an idea for a game that you wanted to be a Nintendo playable game, you had to go to Nintendo and get approval, go through their system.
Which makes sense.
Which I have and failed many times.
It's because it's just you wearing a little vest. Yeah. Going,
how about this? How about this? How about a game about me?
Hey, how about a game where it's me, but I'm a monkey, and you can throw bananas?
Oh, that's pretty much Donkey Kong, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, that's
my game. I have been accused
of. But mine is Davy Kong.
How about I'm wearing a hat, and I've got a brother, and I'm a plumber? Pretty original.
Okay,
That was something else I read about a bit, that all the different manufacturers of games, they didn't necessarily have exclusive rights to different games, so there was heaps of different Donkey Kong games made by different people, different Pac-Mans, that sort of stuff, which led to some issues as well. Something else that Nintendo learnt was that they went to a lot of effort to make the console look more like some sleek modern technology. They wanted it to make it look more like a VCR than a gaming console. VCRs were
cutting edge,
sleek and sexy at the time.
Were they?
Apparently,
at the time, yeah.
I mean, this is 1985.
Now it's like, what is this shoebox shaped thing?
I think we got a VCR in like 1995 or something, I reckon, or maybe later.
Did it have the ability to record shows?
Yeah, I remember it being cool very exciting. Very exciting.
And then did it have the my dad always did this. There'd be some sporting event on in the middle of the night. So he'd set the thing to automatically record at, 1 a.m. to 1:45 a.m.
And the game would finish at 2.
Yeah, and it was like, or it'd just miss. It would start at 12. They're about like, to it kick just always penalty, fucked up.
Penalty shootout's about to. And here he comes. This here is for the.
This. Oh. And then, he'd always come in and be like, fucking machine. So funny. Oh, life was really hard in the 90s.
We didn't have iView. Didn't have Netflix.
So a lot of these strategies, I'm not vibrating on a high frequency today.
You're doing okay, buddy.
So these new strategies that Nintendo put in place, like with the tighter controls and that sort of stuff, ended up being taken on board by a lot of the future big players in video game consoles like Sega, Sony, and Microsoft. To different, not all of them were as strict, but they used a lot of those ideas. And obviously Sega still around? I don't know what their story is, but no, Sony and Microsoft still.
The last one was the Dreamcast.
Right.
I don't think that did very well.
I don't remember it at all.
But Sony's PlayStation, right?
Yes.
And that's still going very strong.
Yeah, the PS4.
And is Microsoft Xbox.
Yep.
That's weird. Microsoft ended up being one of the big players.
Hmm.
I didn't really mention in the report, but the video game crash didn't actually affect, it only affected those consoles. It didn't affect computers. Computers actually took over a lot of that market share.
Steve Jobs was like, fuck you, I haven't had a shower in weeks.
Yeah, like the Apple II came out during that period, and the Commodore 64. And the prices of those came down as well, making them a lot more affordable. So they became, and more and more games were released for those as well. And they were also seen as being superior to families, or that's how they were marketing them as, because they were game computers, but also you could do word processing and all sorts of other stuff, use them for more practical things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but was it a system?
Yeah. How about that?
That's where it lets me down.
Yeah, that's true. No system there.
The Apple MacBook system. Oh, okay. Hello. I'll take three.
I'm in.
All right. So just to finish up, this is from the New Yorker again. After Atari's collapse, its successors released new consoles at a slower pace, finally settling into a 5 to 6 year cycle by the time the sixth generation of hardware was released in the early noughties. This generation included Nintendo's GameCube, mm-hmm. Sony's PlayStation 2, and Microsoft's Xbox, which was the first American-made console to gain significant market share since the days of the Atari.
So it's been 30 years since, or 20 years at that time, since America's had a go.
A big go.
It was time.
But they were back in the game. Anyway, that sort of brings me to the end.
Of the
As I like to do, finish a report, you know, sort of fade it out.
Just let it fizzle.
Yeah, fizzle.
Yeah, great.
Well, it's cool. Obviously, video games now are like bigger than ever. They make it's multiple billion dollar industry.
And it's getting, they're going in different directions now, like 3D stuff. And what do you call the one where you go inside of it?
Oh.
Sex doll. No,
the Xbox sex doll. Seriously, though, where can I get that?
Virtual reality is what I was meaning to say. Virtual reality.
What do you mean when you go inside it?
Virtual reality is what he means. Like,
yeah. So, I played it, and I was so skeptical. A friend's got a thing called it's called something weird like a...
Oculus Rift?
Yes. I was going to say a mopliless mloop. But yeah, Oculus Mlip.
Which is that Mark Zuckerberg owns that?
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. He was my friend who had it. I was hanging out around at his joint. At the Facebook mansion, and have a go at this guy. And I'm like,
oh, I don't do the sex doll.
Hey Zuckerberg, take your fucking little toys and go play with the other kids. I'm not in. I don't need that shit. I got my sex doll right here. If I'm getting in something, anyway. He gave me a go of it, And I honestly was going, this is going to be shit.
Mm.
And I put it on.
Because every virtual reality you've ever done in the 90s, how bad? They were
terrible.
Awful,
really bad.
I've never even done one before, but somehow that seeped through into my head and I'm like, this is going to suck. And I put it on and it blew me away. It was just going.
Much like the sex doll.
Yeah. Both great experiences. No. But yeah, it was amazing. Oculus Rift. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
It was fucking sick. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. There was like, I was ducking from dinosaurs and then I was like on a ledge of a building.
Wow.
What?
And all these weird things.
Why are there dinosaurs and buildings in the same thing?
Yeah, I think I was just on some sort of like intro screen.
You're just trying to hit start. Start.
But it was the best. Much. I'm just like looking the menus over there and then I'm like, I'm walking into tables and stuff trying to get away from bullets.
Wow.
And then there was a lot going on. Jeez, it was good. Anyway.
Bullets, dinosaurs, buildings. Exciting stuff. So who knows what's going to happen in the future of gaming, hey?
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Only time will tell.
I'm like, I want back in. Can I just live in there now?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. I'm talking about the sex doll again.
Okay, gross.
I want to live in there. Well, that's weird. I'm going to edit those last bits out. Probably won't. Hey, thanks for listening to me.
That was cool.
That was very interesting.
I had no idea about any of that.
Me either.
I'm not a video gamer, but I found that fascinating.
I was, totally the same. Just never, it's never really got me, but I mean, there were periods where I played a little bit when I had that Super NES, played some Donkey Kong Country 2 or whatever, but yeah, I find it fascinating. And it is a world where people who get into it get deep into it.
Which is great. It's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, awesome. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so thanks for having me.
We should thank at SH3PRD, whatever, Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Thank you for the suggestion.
Thank you very much, Shepherd. Hopefully, that covered off some of the things that you wanted it to.
If you, like Shepherd, want to get in contact with us, you can do the tweets like he did at DoGoOnPod. Or you can email us, dogoonpod@gmail.com. We've got the Facebook going now. We're getting a few people on there, which is pretty good.
That's awesome, yeah.
Please follow all that kind of stuff. And the more suggestions,
The longer we have to go.
Yeah, we're going to keep going till we tick them all off. So keep us here for another 10 years.
We're very anal like that.
Oh, stop talking about your sex doll.
Oh, Jess.
Oh, Jess.
You can't make me stop.
But until next time, do you guys have anything else to announce?
No, I don't think so. I think all I would like to announce is have a lovely day, everyone.
I would like to announce friendship.
Great. That's a great. I think that's a great.
Nice
thing.
Announcement.
Yeah. I could apart get on. From that, I could get nah. behind that.
That sounds a lot like gimmickry to me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to use that word. Did I use that properly? Who knows? It's probably not even a real word. But thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you, or you'll hear from us, next week. And until then, we'll say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.